So this morning we're going to be studying the book of Psalms, chapter 23. And if you've got a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Psalm 23, or you can go to our website, anchorhowell.com, and under weekly bulletin, you'll find that it opens it up and shows the passage for Psalm 23. So I want to begin by asking us a question. What are the moments in your life when you feel most content? So for us, we just moved, and moving is chaos. It's the worst thing ever, right? It's just everything is out of place. You can't find anything. And one of the moments of contentment that I found this past week was I was able to finally get the bookshelves in my office put together, put on the wall. They fit perfectly. I unpacked all the boxes for my office, and everything was just kind of in its place where it was supposed to be. That just brought me contentment, right? We had a little other contentment in our home this past week where one of our family members got their phone for the first time. They got a phone. And this has been something they've been waiting on. And so they got that phone. And to get that phone for the first time, to know, you know, I don't have to take mom or dad's phone to play games, because that's what the phone's for, right? Or send texts to my friends. But to be able to have my own phone, there's this moment of contentment that they've experienced. Maybe for some of us, that contentment comes when everything that you kind of planned took place. And so you planned something and everything just kind of fell into order the way you wanted it to be. Or maybe that contentment takes place when you put your kids to bed at night and you finally get that 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours of quietness with the kids being asleep. I don't know why Dan is smiling at that, because he doesn't have kids. So I don't understand why he's affirming that, but I guess even without kids, he understands the beauty and the contentment that comes from that. Or maybe for some of us, that contentment is when you get the job that you really wanted or the job that you really like. Now, in Psalm 23, the psalm that all of us are very familiar with, probably one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, David addresses the way to be content without having everything. And what we're going to see as we look at Psalm 23 is that we can enter into a space of contentment that is not temporal. Because all the things that I listed that bring contentment, they're all temporal, right? Because at some point in time, your kids wake up and the chaos ensues. At some point in time, the things that you felt you could control begin to unravel. At some point in time, that phone that you got that you love, you happen to drop it and the back of it's made from glass. This isn't a personal story, and it shatters, and it's the worst. It's the dumbest iPhone idea ever. But anyways, I'm not saying that happened to me. But at some point in time, that phone isn't as exciting. It isn't as fast anymore. All of these things, and even the great job at some point in time, you know, can lose some of its luster. And so all of these things are temporal. So the contentment that they bring is temporal. But what Psalm 23 shows us is that we're able to find contentment that is not temporal. Specifically, that the Lord, as our shepherd, leads us to a place where we lack nothing without having everything. It's interesting, right? God, as our shepherd, leads us to a space where we lack nothing without having everything. So let's look at Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And when you look at that verse 1 there, the word "Lord" is in all caps. And the reason it's in all caps is because in the Old Testament, the translators of the Old Testament, who translated it from Hebrew, which was the language it was written into English, they chose to take the word Jehovah or Yahweh, whenever they translated that into English, to signify that that was the word that was being translated into English, they took the word Lord and did all caps. And so Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh is God's name. And it's interesting to note that in Exodus, if we kind of turn back, to the beginning of Genesis, or the beginning of the Bible, we find that in the book of Exodus, that as God is revealing himself to Moses through the burning bush, as he's saying, "Hey, I've heard the cries of the people of Israel who are as slaves in Egypt, and I'm going to rescue them." Moses asks God the question, a simple question. He says, "Look, who do I tell them is going to rescue them?" And God, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, says, "I am is going to rescue them. I am. Now, that's an interesting statement for God to make in describing himself. But in that statement, what God is saying is he's saying that as Lord, as Yahweh, as the one who spoke everything into existence, as the one who has no beginning and no end, I am is the perfect definition of who I am, because it defines God's self-sufficiency and it defines God's God not needing anything outside of himself to exist. And so God is the shepherd, and David recognizes that God is the shepherd. And in being the shepherd, he is defining or showing us how God, as the shepherd, is both a provider and a protector, because that's what shepherds do, right? So we don't really have shepherds today in the Midwest, but if you go over to England and to the UK, there's still shepherds there. And I suppose if you go out to the West, you'll find shepherds as well. But the role of the shepherd was what? To have the sheep and to do what? To protect them from harm that might come from the outside, and to provide for them by bringing them to what? To places where they could find clean water and places where they could find good food to eat. And so it's a provider and protector. So that's the picture that David, who's writing Psalm 23, is giving us, that the Lord, the one who is self-sufficient, the one who has no beginning and no end, he is the shepherd. He is the provider. He is the protector. And in him being the provider and the protector, verse 1 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore what? I shall not want. And then he begins to, through the rest of this, through the rest of this chapter, he begins to describe why it is, that we won't want if God is our shepherd, if the Lord is our shepherd. And he goes to verse 2, and he tells us, he, the shepherd, God the shepherd, makes me, the sheep, lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So the first way in which God provides for us so that we do not want is, as our shepherd, is he, the Lord as our shepherd, with the Lord as our shepherd, we do not lack rest. And that word for still waters, that phrase that's used there in verse 2, he leads me beside still waters, could also be translated as waters of rest. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that when God's my shepherd, I don't lack rest. Now, this past July, we had the opportunity as a family, or I had the opportunity to kind of be on a mini sabbatical. And so we got to get away for a little bit. And so a few weeks ago, we went up to Beulah, which is near Crystal Lake. And I remember a number of the days that we were up there, we would kind of go to Crystal Lake and just hang out there. And it was a perfect scenario. Now, you know, I hate sand. So we had a beach chair, and I found a cement pad right by the lake there that I put my beach chair on. So I'm sitting there. I'm in the shade because I don't like sun, because let's just be honest, I'm a wimp when it comes to all these things. And I was just sitting there, and I'm reading my biography by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I'm just hanging out. And it was just, there was a restfulness that I experienced. And the reason that I experienced the rest is what? It was restful because I had no responsibility or work in that moment. And when you look at the shepherd versus the sheep motif, what you find is that the shepherd is the one that does the work, right? The shepherd is leading the sheep to the place that has the beautiful grass to eat, that has the calm waters, that has the green pastures. And all the sheep do is what? They just follow the shepherd and they sit down and they start eating and drinking. And that's it. And when God is our shepherd, we will not lack rest, because God is the one who's providing for the green pastures. He's providing for the water. But not only that, but with the Lord as our shepherd, verse 3, it shows us that we will also, not only will we not lack rest, but we will not lack spiritual life. Look at verse 3. It says this, he restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that word or phrase, restores my soul, could also be translated as he brings us to repentance. And so what the shepherd is doing, what God is doing as our shepherd, is he's not only providing for our physical needs, but he's also providing for our spiritual needs. And so he is restoring our souls and that he is giving us repentance so that when we sin, he gives us a heart of repentance that we can turn from our sin and go in the opposite direction of our sin towards Jesus. And in doing, he leads us, it says, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And how does God, as our shepherd, lead us in paths of righteousness? Well, the way that he leads us in paths of righteousness is that God, our shepherd, sent the good shepherd, that is Jesus Christ, his son, God the Son, who had no beginning and end, to step down to earth and to 2,000 years ago come and live a life that we could not live. Live a life of perfection. Who, unlike, as Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, the sheep who wander and stray, unlike sheep who wander and stray, who walk in sin, Jesus, who came as the perfect shepherd, lived a sinless life. He lived a life of righteousness. And not only did he live a life that we cannot live, but then he dies the death that we deserve to die. So that he sacrifices his own self. He lays his life down, as John 10 says of the good shepherd in verse 13. He lays his life down so that he takes God the Father's just wrath upon himself, bearing the punishment for our sins, even though he was righteous, so that we who are wicked, who are sinful, might be made righteous through his death. And then he's buried, and 3 days later he conquers sin, Satan, and death, and rises from the grave. And so the way in which the good shepherd leads us on a path of righteousness and restores our souls is by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross so that we who are unrighteous, who are sinful, who are broken, whose lives are marked by pursuing contentment outside of who God is and his provision for us, might be rescued, might be adopted into the family of God. And so the paths of righteousness that we are led on are righteousness that is marked not by our own efforts and our own work, but by Christ's work being placed on us. And so not only is the good shepherd lead us in a way in which we don't lack rest, we don't lack spiritual life, but then we see in verse 4 that we don't lack safety. And this is probably one of the most familiar verses in this psalm, right? You can, even if you've not read the Psalms, you probably have this verse memorized. It says this: even though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, speaks of the fact that when you go into the valley, what you find is that the shadows tend to be longer. I don't know why it is, how this is. I didn't take math class high school, but there's some geometry involved. But the shadows extend in the valley. And oftentimes the danger for the sheep would be lurking behind the shadows. So animals that would seek to kill the sheep would hide behind the shadows in the valley, and then as you're walking through the valley, they would jump out. And the picture we're given here is that God, who is the shepherd, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear evil for two reasons. Number one, because the shepherd is with us. And number two, because the shepherd's rod and staff comfort us. And one of the things that we see throughout the scriptures is that there is no promise in the Bible that life will be easy. God does not promise that if you follow me, all of your problems will go away. That's not promised. But actually something even better is promised than that, which is that no matter what circumstances you are walking through, I am present with you. And so when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which we will all experience if we have not already, our hope is not that we won't walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but our hope is that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for those of us who have been adopted into the family of God, God the Father, our great shepherd, is walking with us, present with us. And his rod and his staff, which were used both as a means of guiding the sheep so that you're protecting the sheep from going into places that are dangerous, but what else was the rod used, do you think? As a weapon to fight off dangers and attackers and threats to the sheep. So that God is present walking with us, and he is protecting us as he walks with us, so that we are comforted. And this is good news for those of us who have been, who are, or who will walk through darkness. Knowing that we're not walking alone. Knowing that in God we have a shepherd who walks with us, whose rod and whose staff brings comfort to us as he guides us and as he protects us, even in the midst of the heartache or the pain or the hurt that we are experiencing in that moment. And so not only with God as our shepherd do we not lack rest, we don't lack spiritual life, we don't lack safety, but then number four, we don't lack nourishment. Look at verse 5. It says this, "You, the shepherd, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. When would somebody who's fighting in war, when are they most vulnerable? They're often most vulnerable when they're eating, right? Because when you're eating, what are you doing? You're focusing on the food. You're not focusing on what's around you. But what the promise of the shepherd is that the shepherd prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies so that even with the threat of enemies around, we're able to enjoy the food and the nourishment that God provides because he is our protector. And not only does he provide the table set before us, but then he says, what? "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." And these are poetic ways of saying that prosperity and joy will be brought to you through the shepherd. And so God cares for us so that we don't lack any nourishment. And we see in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about, he makes a promise of, hey, he says, look, if God the Father made the birds of the air, we don't see any birds here today, but sometimes you hear them chirping, but God made the birds of the air and we never see birds hungry. They're always cared for. Would not God who created you, who is much greater and more important than the birds, wouldn't he also care and provide for all of your needs? If he's caring for the birds' needs, which are way down on the totem pole, and you're at the top of his creation, wouldn't he be caring for you even more? And so we see that the Lord is our shepherd. We will not lack nourishment. And then finally, in verse 6, we see that the Lord as our shepherd, we will not lack a forever home. He says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that word mercy there can also be translated as loving kindness. It points to God's loving kindness, his never stopping, always and forever love for his children. And it says that this love that he has for us is what? He says that it follows us all the days of our life. And this is good news. Unlike us, who are sheep, who are fickle, where our affections are fickle, even as a father who loves his kids, there are moments and times when my love isn't perfect and when I'm not loving to my kids. I had to apologize yesterday to my kids for doing that. But unlike us who are fickle, whose affections are fickle, we find that the Father, who is our shepherd, what? His loving kindness, his mercy, it follows us all the days of our life. It's not fickle. It's not transactional. It's not dependent on us. But instead, it is a loyal, covenant-keeping love that is rooted not in our loveliness, but in his choosing to love us. And this love leads us to the culmination of the promise of, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And what David is pointing towards is the good news that those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and Lord, we have a hope that is tied not to our temporary circumstances, a hope that is tied not to whether we love our job, whether our kids are obedient all the time, whether we have the thing that we wanted, whether our life is all put together or not. The hope of the gospel is that we have a hope that supersedes, that goes beyond all those things. And that is that one day we will see Jesus face to face and enjoy him together forever with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the promise of the shepherd is that not only does he meet our temporary needs, our sustenance, our needs, physical needs, but he also meets our spiritual needs so that he cares for us and he does not abandon us and he leads us all the way to the end when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, enjoying Jesus together in heaven. And so this is why, as we look at this psalm, we see that the Lord is our shepherd, leads us to a space where we lack nothing while not having everything. And this is actually good news, right? Because no matter how put together our life is, all of us have spaces where we wish things were different or things were better. And if our hope was rooted in all of those things being better, we would never find contentment. We would never be able to find lasting joy. We would never be able to find that peace and that assurance. But the promise of Psalm 23 is that for those who have looked to Christ as their Savior, for those who have looked to Christ as their shepherd, they now have a shepherd who cares for them, who meets their needs, who is with them always, and who will bring them to their home, their forever home in heaven. And yet one of the biggest hurdles to realizing this promise of Psalm 23 is what? Is recognizing that it begins with me saying that I'm a sheep and I'm not the shepherd. Because the natural response for us is what? If we were to pick between being the sheep and the shepherd, what do we want to pick? We want to be the shepherd, right? We want to be the one who's in charge. We want to be the one who's self-sufficient. We want to be the one who is in control of things. We want to be the one who kind of has everything in order. We want to be the self-sufficient I am. And yet, what we are called to be is the sheep who follow the one who is the I am. We're called to be the sheep who follow our Savior, the one who meets us where we're at, who is with us. And so the first step for us in realizing the promises of Psalm 23 is to walk in repentance, is to recognize that, hey, if I am living as the shepherd, where I think I'm in control and I'm going to kind of, you know, do my thing the way I want to do it, and I'm going to not submit to the authority of Christ or to the allegiance of Christ, the first step in that is to repent of that, is to turn from that and to recognize that as sheep, I need the shepherd who is the I am, who is the self-sufficient one, who is the one who deserves my affections and my allegiance. And then as we recognize that we are the sheep instead of the shepherd, then we are able to rest in the shepherd caring for all of our needs. Then we're able to look to Christ, and who is the one in whom true rest is found. We're able to look to Christ, the one in whom we can be made righteous or have been made righteous if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We're able to look to Christ, the one who never leaves us even when we walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. We are able to look to Christ, the one who meets all of our needs and who safely brings us home to heaven. And so my encouragement to us is this, is number one, is to look at your life and to recognize, okay, am I trying to live as a sheep or as the shepherd? And the areas where I'm trying to live as the shepherd instead of the sheep, to step back and to submit to the shepherd, God the Father's care for you. To allow God to care for you. To submit to and to allow your allegiance to be to God, the Father, who is the great shepherd, rather than yourself. And then beyond that, my encouragement to us is that as we live as sheep, we live as sheep who are seeking to be cared for and looking to the great shepherd to be the one who meets our spiritual needs, who meets our physical needs, and in whom we find our security and our trust. Because as we do that, it's in that space where we are able to experience lacking nothing without having everything. It's in that moment that we are able to experience what the psalmist says, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," verse 1, "and I shall not want." And here's the good news, right? The good news of the gospel is that God didn't need to be our shepherd. God did not owe us anything. There was nothing that demanded God to send Christ, God the Son, down to earth to be the shepherd. And yet, what did he do? God the Father sends God the Son, who is in perfect unity and community and harmony within the Trinity, the triune Godhead. God the Father sends Jesus Christ down to earth. And Jesus, as John 10 reminds us, comes as the good shepherd. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, does what only the good shepherd can do, which is what? He lays his life down for the sheep. And that's what Christ did for us. And it is in recognizing, in experiencing, in embracing the truth that Christ laid his life down for us, that we are then able to, in turn, respond to Christ as our shepherd and trust in him and looking to him to care for and to provide for all of our needs. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness to us in being a shepherd who leads and cares for and is present with us. Lord, I pray that if there are those who have not trusted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that you would give them a heart of repentance so that they can turn and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, that they might become your sheep and you might become their shepherd. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are your sheep, that you would allow us as your sheep to act as sheep rather than shepherds in our lives, and that we would seek to continue to look to you to meet our needs and to care for us so that we can experience the promise of verse 1, that we would not have any want, not because we have everything, but because we have you as our shepherd. In your Son's name, amen.